Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a podcast for training trailblazers to get real. Today, I am joined by Christine Bednarz, who is the Corporate Vice President of Change Management and Learning at a Fortune 100 company. Christine is the Corporate Vice President for Change Management and Learning at the largest mutual life insurance company in the United States. She led the learning experience design and development efforts for the field management and leadership development curriculum as a senior learning experience designer. And most recently, she has transitioned into her new role as a corporate vice president for change management within the insurance company while maintaining her connection to learning experience efforts. So Christine is going to have some awesome, awesome info to share with us today. Christine, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, why don't you just start by going off that introduction a little bit and talk a little bit about your role in your company?
Yeah, so my focus area too, as you kind of mentioned, is the learning experience design piece of, you know, the curriculum that I support. So I had been supporting specifically field managers within the organization. And for them, you know, this is a transitional period, especially for those who are new managers and who are going into a management position for the first time. So I'm really focusing on, you know, what is that experience for those individuals? And when I look at learning experience design, I look at it from the moment that they are, you know, entering this particular program, or the moment that they find out that they're going to, you know, be able to pursue this, you know, opportunity in management. Like, what does that interaction look like? What is the first type of touch point that we have? How do we really make sure that the experience that we're providing is something that is consistent, and it also really helps support the individual feel like they are part of something bigger? And that's where I focus on too, is not just the learning event itself, but leading up to the event and then also to post-event. So that is something where I will look at, and I have been looking at, is, you know, mapping out what that journey looks like. And then when it comes to the actual training event itself too, and the learning that we do provide to our individuals, or sometimes it's more formalized and sometimes it's informal, really looking at how do we have individuals learn through experience. So really kind of flipping, you know, instead of, you know, let's lecture and say, this is what your role is, or this is what your, you know, the expectations are, really flipping it and asking individuals, you know, what do you see as the expectations in your new role? How are you going to have to shift your responsibilities going from an individual contributor to someone who's managing a team, and really being very intentional with that experience and making sure that the experiences that they're, you know, being exposed to within, you know, a classroom or a workshop or whatever it may be, is really focused on their role and what the expectations of their role. So really that simulation piece of it too.
Yeah, I love that. Like flipping it, you know, being like, what? Just because I think that's so important, and making sure that's clear, you know, and if that's not clear, you want to address that right from the jump.
Yeah. And I would say the biggest part of it too, of course, there's engagement, right? So we're trying to reduce the lecture piece of it. And also too, we really need to gauge, like, what are these individuals understanding? Like, what is their baseline understanding of what their role expectations are? What do we need to clarify in terms of what they need to support and what they need to tackle as they shift into this kind of new role and the way that they have to manage people? And what are we going to really be able to take from those discussion points and what they're contributing and be able to tailor our program to be able to make sure that we're addressing, some of those, perhaps, maybe we're debunking things that they might have heard. Like, oh, I'm stepping into management, I get this new office and I, kind of get to kick back and I don't need to worry about, anything. I've made it. And really being able to kind of shift that and address some of those perhaps misconceptions up front.
Yeah, absolutely. You've spoken a little bit about this, who your learners are and, what some of their biggest challenges are, but do you want to expand upon that a little bit? Kind of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, I would say too. I mean, the biggest piece of a transition for individuals going from an individual contributor to being a manager is you're not just managing yourself anymore. You really need to start focusing on managing people. And part of that too is those coaching conversations. So being able to coach and develop your, agents or your individuals, the individuals who are within your team that you're having who are reporting to you too. So we really need to make sure that they know how to have those coaching conversations and then really make sure that they have the data and the information to be able to successfully identify potential gaps and areas of improvement for those individuals who are reporting to them. So when we look at the learning piece of it, it's really shifting. It kind of goes back to what I was mentioning about learning experience and focusing on the experience that individuals should, be having once they're, transitioning into their role too. So what we do is we make sure that it's not very much just about the data. So if there is data about this particular individual that they can gather, their background, they can get information about the activity that they've done for the week too, and really some of those key performance metrics. It's not just being able to know the tool. There is a part of that too that we need to hit, and that's something that's very important, but it's the behavior that's associated with it. So, okay, you have all of this data, you're able to access it. So then how do you have a coaching conversation based on this? And we're really focusing on practical applications. So having individuals in that classroom setting, whether it's virtual or in person, practice and do that role playing and making sure, how they're approaching individuals is aligned with the company's values and the expectations of their role too.
Yeah, absolutely. Do these are obviously, I feel like some pretty common challenges for the group that you're talking about. But what are some of the biggest, in these learning environments, like the biggest L&D challenges that you're having, and how are you guys approaching those?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, generally speaking, even outside of, my experience with the company is there's just a lot of information. It's information overload. So there's so many people who are competing for these individuals' time. So whether it's countless communications, it's, AI is coming, and then you need to watch out for the markets and things are fluctuating. So there's just a lot of information and we recognize that too. So intentionality is really a critical component to it. So we're being very intentional in terms of the time that we're asking for individuals, in terms of training and learning and development. So really seeing, it kind of goes back to the example of, do we need to have a training that goes through every single screen for this particular tool? Is that the best use of individuals' time to call a meeting or call for a webinar or a training where individuals sit there for an hour just watching click-throughs? Probably it's not. It's ultimately there are so many other things that individuals can be doing. And that's where we're really trying to say, what are those behaviors that we need to focus on and be really intentional about the time we're, asking individuals to spend on learning, but then also recognizing too there's opportunities for individuals to learn with structure in their own environment. So what systems can we provide? What coaching toolkits can we provide to their managers so that they're equipped to be able to support those individuals as they transition and really shifting in that respect? The other aspect of it too, I will say, when it comes to the learning experience, is elevating it too. So there's so many emails that are coming through. How do we make this experience when it comes to learning and development program and a training feel very, impactful, like they're part of something bigger. So shifting between, you're just getting this email and it's like, oh, you need to attend this training and it's required. We'll see you next week, versus really do a lot of that branding and program recognition to make it feel like this is something that it's a privilege to be invited to. And making this transition, it's a big milestone in my career. And we want to make sure that we're recognizing that, so that, that consistency again in that experience. So it's the branding, the colors that we're using, our taglines is consistent throughout, so that they know that there is that investment when it comes to these programs and the learning that we're doing. It's really at the forefront too. So small things like that, that sometimes as L&D professionals, we don't always think about the marketing aspect of it, really starting to focus on that too, and putting, a bow with, on this package of this learning experience.
Yeah, absolutely. As someone who's in marketing, like I can like say that I see that, a lot of times it's like if it's internal, all of a sudden it's like not important or it like doesn't get like thought put into it. And it's like, no, like that these are actually probably the most important people that you need to get everything and doing what we're doing. So I definitely see that in my work too. With the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted, if at all, to ensure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for the digital workforce?
Yeah, I will say that's something that's really, a benefit to the pandemic is that technology shift and normalizing that it's okay to have some training, especially if you're in a culture, and it depends on the company too. If you're in a culture where, it has historically been in person, those learning events too, really normalizing that it's okay for it to shift to be virtual, or perhaps, some of those in-person sessions kind of tying back to what I was mentioning, really focus on the behaviors and that role playing and the need for that in-person coaching, something that you don't always get when it's, a virtual session perhaps. And then reserving those virtual sessions for follow-up and reinforcement, and perhaps some of those lower impact, or lower risk, I should say, training, kind of, messages that we need to provide too. So normalizing it, I would say, and the different ways that we are able to reach learners is one thing I think that has been a benefit. But when it comes to the content too itself, we're focusing on the fact that the clients or the, interactions individuals have with their teams is going to be different. You have some groups and, within our programs that they're hybrid. You have some groups fully remote, and then you have some groups where they're in person. So being able to make sure that we're speaking to all of that when we're developing these individuals and having them go through these coaching conversations, like what are things that you need to be mindful for, each of these types of working environments. And that's where I would say, the biggest shift is, coming from too, is we didn't really have to worry about that. Or for me, when I was thinking, pre-pandemic, when I was in the office at a different company, that was not something that I would have had to consider as part of my learning and development curriculum, is also acknowledging those remote workers, because most of the company or the individuals that I supported were in person. So that I would say is probably one of the biggest shifts is, just being able to make sure that we're supporting individuals at every single stage of, their career and where they're working.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny when you think back to just like what those, initial pandemic days and like what it was like in the first 6 months of that and like just trial and error going on for sure.
Yes, and I will say that did facilitate, rapid change though. So I think that the one thing, that also has been a benefit is these tools, like especially like Zoom and the virtual tools that we're using, are so integrated into these individuals' lives at this point. So we don't have to onboard the tool anymore, which is really, from a learning and development standpoint, that's great, because that used to take some time, especially if you have an audience who's not used to, potentially using Zoom or whatever the tool may be. So that's really helped us be able to really rapidly deploy some of these virtual options with minimal interruption.
Yeah, absolutely. How does your team identify and address skills gaps, whether it's in these experiences or just in general, like with what they're trying to, teach?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say data. That's the one thing I will say. Coming into this company, the infrastructure for technology and data and the way that performance metrics and everything is gathered is so intentional. So every stage in terms of when we're assessing a skill gap or predicting where there might be an area that we need to further develop, we really look towards the data to help inform that. And sometimes we might have a hypothesis and say, this might be an area that we need to focus on. But again, the data objectively supports whether or not that's really a need and to the extent in which we need to kind of dive in to support those, particular individuals or the population. So that's really kind of, I would say, the way that we've approached it too. But then there's also within the programs itself, you've got some good insights in terms of where individuals are too, so that we can better modify our programs. And of course, from a metric standpoint and evaluation standpoint, we're always keeping a pulse to make sure that we're, on top of areas that we perhaps need to focus on a little bit more in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of getting back to some of what we were just talking about with things that are, we were doing a little bit of a look back on over the past 5 years, how have things changed? But what are some of the key takeaways that you've seen from that? Obviously we talked a little bit about the different types of learning environments and like adapting to that. But what are some of those like key takeaways from adapting to those types of environments that you've seen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that one of the things that I'm cognizant of too, and especially with the shift and when it came to the remote work and, technology moving at the speed that it is too, it's really easy to try to incorporate and fit a technology or a learning solution into something that really doesn't need it too. So really being intentional and kind of going back to that too in terms of looking at our foundational learning approach and not trying to build a program surround based on a technology or a tool or a solution, but rather find natural ways to incorporate that into our program too. And the reason I say that too is starting at the basics and really focusing on what the learner needs are and doing that assessment and really making sure that the information, the context or whatever may be is at the core and at the center, because my philosophy and me, because I have a little bit of a data background too, is garbage in, garbage out. So if you have a poor, course or program or whatever it may be, from the get-go, then it doesn't matter what tool you're using to deliver it, it's not going to meet the learner's needs. So it's being, again, really intentional and making sure that we're thinking about, what is the information that they need? How can we make sure that they can perform in their role and do what they need to do? And the tool will naturally come if it's something that's necessary, but that should be always the core focus. Where I've seen, sometimes the opposite, where you try to deploy a tool because it's new. And I think that's the great thing about learning and technology is there's always something new, but new doesn't always mean better, and new doesn't always mean that you need to adopt it in order to be able to make an impact to your learners.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, I feel like that comes up a lot in these episodes. Just like the balance of, yes, there is so much tech out there, and especially like with AI and what's coming with all these like new advancements, it's like, oh, it's super exciting, but like, is it practical for us to be using, and is it actually going to like adapt into our flow of work and what we're already doing? Because it's not realistic potentially to absolutely, totally transform and alter everything and like stop it. Like that can't happen at companies. You have to keep going. So it's like you easily integrate something that does advance and not hinder, which I think comes up a lot, especially when we talk about tech. How do you kind of see the future of L&D? We've talked a little bit about high level about tech, but what kind of trends or emerging technologies do you believe will shape the way organizations invest in their employees' growth?
Yeah, I would say, one So I think that AI, of course, that's an easy answer. There's going to be some sort of impact. There's impact that we're feeling now too, as AI continues to advance. But I will say, something that's been interesting to me is this concept of a talent marketplace too. So being able to have these almost, you put your skills in and you have the opportunity to get staffed on different projects across the organization. And being able to kind of identify stretch opportunities or be part of these stretch opportunities through this skills marketplace. So you'll still, to some extent, be aligned to your specific area, your function, whatever it may be, but there might be some needs where, there's a special project that you could be tapped for based on, again, your skills and your background and your career aspirations. And I think that's something that's interesting to see because L&D is going to play a role in that too. Like, how do we rapidly upskill individuals who are starting on these projects or perhaps, starting on assignments that are outside of their typical day-to-day work or what they're kind of tied to currently? So that to me is an area of interest. But another thing too that's fascinating is you can really focus on core skills that are transferable so that you have the opportunity to go into different groups and it to be a very seamless transition and acquire skills in a different way. So not as formalized as we've typically done from an L&D standpoint, but still providing those opportunities for individuals to learn on the job and get that job experience, really naturally through natural osmosis. So area of interest, I think it's something that I've seen, personally firsthand in my previous company for being staffed on engagements, what that marketplace looks like, and starting to see it at different companies take off.
Yeah, absolutely. Lastly, Christine, as a fun send-off, this is always my favorite question to ask. What advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role, whether it's, this group of leaders that you work with or just like in general in a leadership role, what would you say is very important to keep in mind?
I think it's really important to make sure that you're focusing on the core values of the organization too and staying true to that. And then also, I would say a big piece of it is really investing in your people and being authentic and really knowing when it's okay to have that humility too. And to say, I don't know, things are changing very quick. I recognize that, we're working through this together. And I think that's something too. That I've always admired for leaders is, it's okay. You don't know what the next step is with AI and admitting that. And then I would also say another piece of it too is really making sure when you step into a leadership role is aligning your team's, mission to and goals to the organization's goals too. So making sure that anything that from an L&D standpoint is contributing to the overall value and goals of the organization. And making sure that you're, staying true to that too and keeping a pulse too on, new technology and trends to be informed and to continue to benchmark so that you could transform your L&D organization or your team.
Yeah, great advice. I love that. The two little aspects, one like what to do on an individual level and like also to tie it like back into your company's like mission and values. I think that's great advice. Thank you so much, Christine. It's been such a pleasure having you on the NovoEd Talks podcast today. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in once again.